on? Well, I'm on because if you were listening to the first couple songs, you might have heard somebody was off tune because I kind of hit my mic, and it was me that was off tune. Amen. Are you happy to be here?
Yes.
J-E-S-U-S. That's the final answer. Amen. Hey, Justin, you give a prize, a free lunch or something for one that brings the most people and fills up a pew. It's good to be in the house. Before I get started, I just want to take a moment and recognize our pastor, Pastor Justin. Today is the Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Did you know that? A lot of people forget that. But it is a month, the whole month of October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So it didn't serve us slipping 10, 20, 100, or whatever as it goes out. But we appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you. As a brother in Christ, I love you. And I thank you, God. Thank God for your service to this church family, to those around you, all that you and Melissa do, your wife, your family. This church is richly blessed. And we thank God for you. We appreciate you. And, you know, how long we've been friends and brothers in Christ? A few years now. And it's just a blessing to be a part of your life and to have the opportunity to preach in your pulpit while you sat down when you're supposed to be camping in the rain. But I did want to recognize you and Melissa and thank you guys for your ministry. Amen. Does it turn to Colossians? Chapter 3. I've been studying Colossians, and I know your pastor, and I know myself as we preach, one of our desires and our goals is that you know your identity in Christ. Amen? Know who you are in Christ. Know where you stand. Know that you know that you know that you're saved. Amen?
Amen.
You're not fluttering around and being tossed to and fro, that you know without a shadow of doubt that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. It's a big difference. But to know where you stand, because we stand in a day that is crazy, amen? This world is messed up. Just as Paul is teaching this church in the Colossians, there's false teaching, there's fakes. We see it everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
And you must know where you stand in the kingdom of God. You must get it. You must live it. God expects us to live a Christ-centered life as a child of God. Right? And as I watch the church today, I watch a lot of people just kind of fluttering, giving into the world, giving into the teaching of this world. There was false teaching back in that day. There's false teaching in this day. There's dualism back there. We got it here. There's man-made laws. Listen, man will lead you astray, but God won't. His word is powerful. As a Christian, he's talking to Christians today. People have given their life to Christ, born-again believers. This is a young church. They were easily being led astray to false teaching. We see that today. We have people who have been in the church for 50 years and still don't know where they stand with Christ. I'm amazed. But you, as a child of God, should know where you stand, what you believe. How do you gauge your life as a Christian? How do you live it out? How do you model it? We're people of influence, amen? And we're not to let this world influence who we are. But we are seeing that happen time after time, over and over and over. We went through the pandemic. Now we're trying to get out of it. And they say, been in churches everywhere. And they all say the same thing. We can't get 30 or 40% of our people to even come back. Don't even want us to contact. I was a pastor Thursday night. He said, they get mad if I just contact them, text them, check on them. They don't want to hear. If you're a child of God, you should want to hear. Should be in the house of God serving him. Amen? You're different. You're different from this world. And you need to understand that today. Part of this right here is to tell us as Christians how to live. Paul takes the first part of Colossians, and we ain't got time. I'd like to preach through the whole thing. But the first part is about doctrine, about who Christ is. And he gets into this chapter 3, and he kind of changes into this practical application. How do we live it out? That we have died to ourselves, and we are alive in Christ. That we are to put away the old man. That we ought to rip it off. I got a statue and a picture in my office, and it shows the old man in black, and it shows the upper part where he's just ripping off the old man, getting rid of that junk and that trash in our life, that sin. Because God cleans us up, amen? And we ought to continue to do that. Look with me in this passage. You tell him I'm a little fired up. I have concern, and I know Pastor Justin does. As pastors, we care about people when we care about our flocks. We care about all of you. We want you to grow. Why do we get up here and yell at you? We want you to grow. We want you to get it, to understand it, to live it, to empower you in the days ahead. You got to learn to get rid of the old and walk in the new. Amen? Look at this. Stand with me. Colossians chapter 3, if you got your Bibles. It says, if you then have been raised with Christ, do what? Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above and on the things that are on earth. For you have died. You have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ as your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I'm going to read on. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Do what? Put it to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And in these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Listen, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self. Get rid of it with its practices. He's talking to you, Christian, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. He says, here there is not Greek, and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, and slave, free, but Christ is all in all. And he goes on, he says, put on this. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, do what? Forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together. Perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And it says, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, it says in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Thank you again, Father, for the day. Thank you, God, for this passage. Thank you for this challenge, these commands. God, your word's pretty simple. It lays it out pretty simple ways of how we are as your children are to live in this dark world that we live in. We know from Scripture that we're not of it, but we're in it, but we're not of it. We're passing through to a greater place. We're heaven bound. But until then, God, you've called us out to be different, to be separate, set apart, to be like Jesus in everything that we do. Everything that we say, God, should be lined up with your word, our actions and everything, Father. So take these words and penetrate our hearts. Holy Spirit, take charge of this service and remove this guy out of the way. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. You can sit down. He's laying it out. We're not going to get through all those verses, but I wanted to put them all in. Try to get through the first four, but you know me. We'll get there. You got to decide what kind of direction you're going to go in life. Some people, they just set goals and they figured out what the future is. Five of my grandkids here, my oldest grandkid in Chesterfield, she sets goals. She knows exactly what she wants and how she's going to do it, and she goes at it. It's the way she's wired. Myself, I just take one day at a time. Some people kind of look backwards. They look at the things of the past, and they make their decisions and things about their past. Sometimes your past needs to be past, amen? Let go of it. Learn from it, but get rid of it. There are some that look at others, look down on others and think they're better than others. It's like looking for that fault. Well, I'm better than that. The direction of your life. You set that tone, amen? What type of direction are you headed in? Here, Paul is giving us a better direction. There is a better way. Listen, with God, there is a better way if you would follow his plan. A lot of people are faulting because they're not following God's instructions. The Word of God. We'll follow anything that this world has. Follow man, we follow TV, we follow Hollywood, we follow fake news, politicians. They're all messed up. We got to get to the point where you know who you're following and what direction you're headed. In this scripture right here, Paul says, look up. Look up to God. Look up to the heavens. Look to Jesus. Look in his word. You need direction? You need goals? You need focus? Look to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Look to him. Look up. He says, set your hearts and your minds on what? On him. On heaven. On God. That's what Scripture says. Four times in these first four verses, we see Christ and you being united with Christ, with him by faith. Put the focus on. Justin's preached on it, I preached on it. Sermons that talk about our identity, about being united with Christ, that when you put your faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, you are united with him. You're connected with him. We talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We baptize. How many of you have been baptized? What's the symbol of? The old self. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. You're no longer the same. Paul wants us to focus really on this third aspect of being raised with Christ. And the idea here is not only being raised with Christ from death to new life, but being raised with Christ to the heavenly places. Hallelujah. In other words, being raised with Christ includes both his resurrection and his ascension. We got so many benefits as children of God. They're all here. And you got to get a hold of this. So how should we live now that we've been raised with Christ? William Hendrickson says this, sums it up this way. He says, believers should be consistent. They should live in conformity with the fact that they were raised with Christ, who is their life. Who is your life? Jesus, your life? What are you following? Who is it? You got to answer those questions for yourself. Who is my life? What is my life? What is the purpose of my life? Been raised with Christ. You are meant for so, so much more in this world. You are created for greatness. Christians, listen, there's a bigger picture here. There's a higher goal to live for. It directs you to rise above the things of this world and to focus on eternal things. You have been raised with Christ, it says. And that changes everything for you. When you came to Christ, everything changed in your life. Everything. You're no longer the same. You're different. That's why this world don't understand us Christians. They don't get it. And they never will get it because they don't have Christ in their hearts. This world will never get you as a Christian as you live it out because you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There's something different about you. It should be. The moment you said yes to Jesus and you came down and accepted him as Lord and Savior, repented of your sins, and believed that he died on the cross for you, and you truly did that, something happened. And nothing happened, and you need to get saved. You'll change life. So what's wrong with a lot of people? A friend that I know today is getting baptized, and I told my wife coming down the road, I said, he's being baptized, but I don't know if he knows Jesus. But he's got this idea in his head, as many do, if I get baptized, I'm in. No. You're not in until you give your heart to Christ. When you repent of your sins. When you ask God to forgive you and ask him to come in and take up residence and be your Lord and Savior. Believe what the scriptures say. That he died for you. That he shed his blood for you. Went to the cross and took that upon that cross. Every sin that we ever done, he took it upon himself. Perfect Lamb of God. Paid the price in full for you and I that we could have life eternally and abundantly. And you got to accept that and believe. And once you believe, you ought to turn your life around and give it to Christ because that old person is dead. Amen? I want you to grab a hold of what I'm saying here. Paul gives us two commands here. For those who have been, you've been raised with Christ. Grab a hold of that. And he says, set your hearts on the things above. Set your mind on the things above. Where's your heart? Set your heart on those things. Set your hearts on things above. Look at me, verse 1. Look at it again. It says, and then you have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your hearts. Here is a word that means seek something. It is the same word that we find on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Seek what? First, his kingdom. Amen? Seek it. So when Paul tells you to set your heart on the things above, he's talking about what you seek. He's saying that as a Christian, you have a new direction, a new goal. And you are no longer to seek the things down here on earth. But you are to set your hearts on the things above. Change of direction, amen? Where's your focus to be? You are no longer the same person. The things above refers to heavenly things, to eternal things. The things of God rather than the things of men. The things above are the things that will last forever. Other things are temporary. Everybody's trying to acquire something down here. Well, you ain't taking none of it with you when you die. I've lost several friends in the last 2 months to COVID. Praise God they were Christians. I praise God that they knew Jesus Christ without a shadow of doubt. I know they lived it out. And they're in heaven. But everything they acquired, everything that they had here, is gone. Somebody else has got it. But the greatest thing that they had, that they took with them, was the salvation, got them into heaven. They were born again believers in Jesus Christ. Eternal things. Eternal value. That's why it's so important, church, that we are Great Commission Christians, that we are winning the lost, that we are making disciples for Jesus. Because the only thing that's going to matter is a soul being in heaven. Because if they don't get in heaven, where are they going? Hell. People don't like that word, hell. Devil. But let me tell you, he's real. Hell's real. Someone said the other day, he said, oh, we're living in hell now. I said, no, you're not. You have no idea what hell's going to be like. This is just a little taste of what it's going to be like for some. But let me tell you the good news. There's a greater place. There's heaven where there's peace. There's joy. There's no more pain. There's no more sadness. There's no more sickness. Hallelujah. You can shout hallelujah in this church. Man, get excited about Jesus. After that praise section, we should be jumping up and running around the church. They were good. I'm looking for the church to change. I'm getting a little tired of cold church. I think we should be excited when we get here. Maybe we need to dance a little bit, Baptist. Maybe you need to run around church, Baptist. I've been a Baptist all my life, but I got a whole lot of costume in me. Do you love Jesus? Is he your life? Really, don't play a game. He knows your heart. He says, seek him. Y'all get me? Look at the things above. Back to Colossians 3, Paul says, set your hearts on things above. Where is Christ seated? He's at the right hand of the Father. Why do you seek things above? Why does he say, seek those things with us? Because, believers, that's where Christ is. You love Jesus? Set your heart on the things above, because that's where Christ is. Do you hunger and thirst for him? Do you really hunger and thirst for God? Listen to me, believers. Do you really thirst and hunger for God? Let me ask you this. You ain't got to answer, God already knows. How much time you spend with him this past week? How much time did you spend yesterday with Jesus? How much time did you spend this year with Jesus? How much time did you spend in the Word of God? Did you open it up this past week? I love Jesus. Well, if you really love Jesus, you spend time with him. If he's really your Lord, you spend time with him. If he's your king, you worship him. How much time do you spend with Jesus? It's a question for all of us. I have to examine it all the time because it's easy for me to get off track. And I have to be reminded. You spent time with your Lord. Did I get up this morning? The first thing I did was talk to my Lord. Did I read a scripture? And my wife and I get up every morning, and for about 2 hours, we listen to 4 or 5 preachers until she leaves to go to work. It kind of sets the pace for us, I guess. People wonder why their lives are kind of messed up. They're struggling. There's discouragement. I've never seen so much fear. Listen, you're a child of God. There's no fear should come against you. No worry. We're worried about getting the pandemic. We're worried about shots. We're worried about this. I'm tired of it. Just get up and celebrate Jesus. Because I'm going to heaven. If I die today, I'm going to heaven. My brothers and sisters that passed away from me, they're in heaven. Life changes fast. That's why you better know where you stand with Christ. And that should get us excited. That's why we should be set our hearts and minds on things above. How many people do you know that are lost today? How many people in your family are lost today? Let me ask you something. Have you cried out to God for them? Have you prayed for them? I was in church the other Sunday, and the pastor called the altar call. I'm like, praise God. When I grew up, the altars used to be full. People would come down and they'd have tissues and stuff because people were crying out to God. They were repenting of the sin. They were getting their hearts right. And they were crying out for the loved ones that they love. When's the last time you prayed for lost sinner? I'm challenging you today. Because the Word of God tells me that I am to be different. That I died to this old self and I walk in the newness of Christ. Hallelujah. My God's not dead. He's alive. Should excite you. But if you become a warrior today, you better get in the Word of God. You better get in it and stay in it. It should be guiding you in everything that you say and do. Every decision you make should line up with Scripture. Everything that somebody tells you, it should line up with Scripture. All this fake stuff in the world, it should line up with Scripture. If it's not line up with Scripture, it's not yours. You're a child of the King. Set your minds and your hearts on what? Things above. Just set your hearts on him. You want to be with him, and he's above. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? Sitting at the right hand was considered a picture of really honor, especially when you're talking about sitting at the King's right hand. Not only the King's right hand, this is the right hand of God, the place of the highest authority, King of Kings. It's also the place of the highest authority where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is reigning. All authority. He said that in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So set your hearts on the things above where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God is really just a way of saying Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. Amen. Get this, brothers and sisters. Here's the good news. Here's the good news for you. But the Bible tells us not only that Christ has been raised and seated in the heavenly realms, you are sitting there with him. Ephesians 2 says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms and who? Christ Jesus. You're there with him, spiritually. We are sitting there. Spiritually, you have been raised with Christ. You are sitting with him in the heavenly realms. That means that you have high ground over the enemy. You have been freed from Satan. You've been freed from sin. You have the power over sin. Satan has no authority over it unless you give it to him. Why do you give it to him? You want to live a defeated life and you just say, okay, Satan, just take it. He will beat you up. He will chew you up and spit you out because that's what he likes to do to people, especially a Christian. He wants to discourage you, wants to defeat you, wants to knock you down. And the only way he can do it is that you give him authority. You allowed him. When you have the power and authority to say, no, you ain't got no business here. Get your butt out of here. I was in church last Sunday in the middle of the worship service. We knew something was right with the sound and stuff, and the worship leader was there. Pastor gets up, walks up, and says, I'm going to teach you. He went in and said, we've had some struggles today. It started this morning. Satan's been after us. He said, we're going to pray now. He started rebuking that spirit out of there right then. He went at it. He took it to the throne. God says, come boldly before the throne of grace. And he took authority over it in the name of Jesus. I'm like, That's freedom. It's freedom in the service to worship God, to allow the Holy Spirit go. And that pastor realized, man, we're gonna stomp this demon over here. And after he did that, and we prayed, everything just kind of went, ooh. God took over. That's the authority that we have. You got to understand, we live in a dark, demonic world. If you don't realize by now what's gone through the last 2 years, how evil and dark our world, and how fast-tracked it is, something's missing. But as a child of God, you have the authority over it. Don't allow the things of this world to influence you. Don't allow the things of this world to come in and distract you. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Set your minds and hearts on the things above. Stay in the Word. Listen to your preacher. Listen to your Sunday school teachers. Listen to them. They're teaching and studying and preaching for one reason, is to help you grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the other part is you've got to do your part. Dig in. Seek Him. It says, seek Him constantly, not just once and ever. I play church whenever I want. I'll call out to God when I'm in trouble. No, it's a daily walk. It's a daily relationship with Him. That's why He says we ought to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him daily. Daily. Not just once a month, once a week, or once a year, or whenever. It's daily, because He is your King, and you are to set your minds and your hope on Him. Your hearts. What is in your heart? See, if Jesus is really, like you say, I really believe in Jesus, He is really my Lord, then my heart should be filled with Him. My desire should be to be more like Jesus. Stripping off that old man. Getting rid of the garbage. Listen, you always heard me say it, garbage in, garbage out. If you fill yourself up with that TV, I'm going to step on some toes, even my grandkids. That cell phone. I heard this week from a doctor, psychiatrist, says the addiction, talking about alcohol and drugs addiction. They said one of the number one addictions that's coming today is a cell phone. That people are addicted to it so bad it's taking them and destroying lives. You know what's in that little computer? It's a big computer. But there's a dark world in there if you don't watch out. It has a lot of good, but it also has a lot of evil. And let me tell you, these places are there to grab a hold of you. Facebook and all them, TikTok, whatever you're looking, they have a force behind them. It's to destroy you, really. And you can allow that to happen. I know y'all don't like that. But I said it. I'm up here and you're not. You want to say something, you come on up. Amen? Set your minds. You have the authority. It says in Colossians 2, you were buried with Him in baptism, and you raised with Him through your faith in the power of God. A.T. Robinson puts it this way. He says, we are now on the other side of the grave, and we're walking with Christ. Aren't you glad the old man is dead? You're new? You're a new creation in Christ? Do you get that? Buried with Him? When you died with Christ, when you gave your life to Christ, you cut off your connection to the old world. But you know what happens? The old world wants to stay connected to you. We all battle that. But your connection has been cut off because you're no longer part of that world. You're part of God's kingdom. You're different. So start living different. You want to live like the world? You want to be like this world? Then don't get saved. Because you're going to go to hell. I want to do my fun now. Well, it's fun for a moment. You can cut it off. and say no. So many people say, no, 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 I don't want your Jesus. I don't want to give my life to Christ. I might have to give up something. Well, Jesus gave his all. He sacrificed everything for you and I that we could have life eternally and abundantly. Hallelujah. He shed his blood for our sins. Sacrifice. I might give up some. What are you sacrificing? I get tired of people. I can't give that up. What's wrong with that? If it's hindering you in sin, then get rid of it. You don't know what sacrifice is. We don't know that in this country yet. We think our rights and everything is starting to get taken away. We go to some third world countries. They have nothing. Christians are being martyred. Churches, they come in churches and shoot them all. Burn it down. Why? Because they say we love Jesus Christ. And we're not going to accept your God. You can do whatever you want to us. It's not going to change us because we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We are his children. We are heaven bound. I'm like, hallelujah. What would you do if they came walking in this aisle, loaded up with guns, and tell you to deny your faith? Or if you don't, they're going to kill you. What would you do? What would you do? I had a friend the other day said, I don't know what I'd do when I got under that much stress. I said, well, you better figure it out. You better understand where you stand with God. That no matter what this world does or offers, God's got something greater. He's got something greater. That's why he tells us to set your minds, set your hearts, set your minds on the things above. You have a new focus. That's the second command, to set your minds on the things above. Look, it says, verse 2, set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. You are to think about constantly, that word means constantly. Thinking about the things of God. Setting your heart on the things above means having a new direction or goal. Setting your mind on things above means having a new focus. One person put it thus, you must not only seek heaven, you must also thank heaven. You might be here on earth, but your mind is to be constantly on heaven, thinking about that. You have a mindset that's different from this world. And if you're going to think on heavenly things, then you're going to think about God, then you've got to be in his word. You've got to feed yourself and thirst for it. You have a different mindset. Different way. You live different. You know, when he talks about earthly things, he's not necessarily talking about sinful things. Some earthly things are sinful, but not all earthly things are bad. That's what some people are. Well, you're saying you can't have anything. I'm not saying that. I'm saying where your heart is and where your focus is. Someone said, well, you can't have money. It's not about that. It's what you do with it. What is your God? What's your focus? Be heavenly minded. You ought to think on things that are good. Paul says in Philippians 1, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. He tells us what to think on. We dwell upon all the stuff. I know people, all they think about is COVID. Well, think about it because it's there. We've dealt with it, still dealing with it, and we'll deal with it, and there'll be something after that. But what is the greatest antidote for this world? Where is the hope for this world that we live in? Where is it? You should know as a child of God. Our only hope is in Christ. The only antidote is Jesus Christ. Jesus.
The final answer, Jesus. You got to get it. Because none of this other stuff is going to matter. It's just temporary. It's going to fade away. Rust. Moths eat it. But eternal things, your salvation. You know what the good news is? If we had time to go and rest them, I'm going to get through the first two verses. I'm sorry, but it's powerful. If you study this passage and go to the next end there, it tells you, get rid of this stuff. Put this on. You know why he does that? Because that's what's best for us. God knows what's best for you. He knows that you have greater purpose and goals in this world. He knows that. God created you with purpose. Scripture says that he even knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew you. Has a plan for you. Has a purpose for you. He wants you to look to him. He gives you a will. He gives you the right to make choices. He didn't make you a robot. He gave you the choice whether you're going to follow him, deny him. He knows. But do you know? Who are you following? What are you setting your minds on? What are you setting your hearts on today? I spoke on that last time in Matthew where it talks about your treasure. What is your treasures? What's important to you? Where does Jesus Christ fit on your scale of items? Is he number one? Or is he down here somewhere? Sometimes I pull him and put him up here when I really need him. But he's to be on the throne. He's to be on your heart and your mind 24/7. And let me tell you something, folks. Jesus is coming. He's coming. It's happening faster now than any time I can think of. Prophecy and the things that are taking place in this world. And to me, the only thing that's proved this last 2 years is he's coming. He's coming. Read scripture, read prophecy. Get on and listen to David Jeremiah. Jeffries and them are teaching on these end times. We're here. Nobody knows exactly when that time is coming, but man, it's sure lining up. My question is, where do you line up with Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior? Oh, I believe in him, but I'm not living for him. Well, if you love him, then you follow him, he says. You got to make that choice. Who is your God? You have to do it. Nobody else can do it for you. I can't do it. My desire is for this whole row here, every one of them be in heaven with me. All my family. I'm going to a family reunion and right after the service here. And I got people at that family reunion. If they're there, they're lost. But you know what? I pray for them. I pray that God will get a hold of their heart. I pray that someone will come into their life and tell them about Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is the final answer. He is to be King of kings and Lord of lords. And if he's not, then he's not at all. Let me ask you something. What have you allowed to take his place on the throne? What's become your God? What are things in your life that are not lining up with Scripture? I need to get rid of this. Look, I'm in. He says, put to death what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality. Boy, we see a lot of that. Impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, idolatry. And here's the thing, he says, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Wake up. Wake up to your lifestyle. Wake up to where your heart is. Wake up. He says, put it away. Put away. Anger, I've dealt with anger this last few years. Wrath. You been mad the last? You get mad? I get mad. He said, get rid of it.
You've got to constantly be working and pushing that old self. He says, take it off. It's like taking off old clothes and putting on new. Because when you put on Christ, you're new. He says, get off. This is not the way you should be, Christian. Get rid of it. Malice and slander and obscene talk. Get rid of it. I told Justin the other night, I was in Nags here, my wife and I, and the people next to us at 11:45 woke me up, and the guy was cussing so loud he was penetrating our walls. And he called his wife every name in the book. And it went on and went on, and finally it cut down, and then he went at it again. Finally at 2 something, I called security and said, security, you got to come and get this guy out next to me or not. I'm going over and do it. Please don't do that, Mr. Watson. That's why I called you. He comes and he pulled up the end of the thing. He said, I could hear him. I could hear him in the parking lot. I said, yeah, you can hear him. But he had cussed that woman over and over. Dirty, dirty, filthy language. And the bad thing is I listened to that and it's been ringing in my brain. That's why I don't want to fill myself with garbage, because garbage is in there. You got to, God, take it away. I had to call the police. They came at like 4 o'clock finally, went in. You know what he told? His wife and the other one was in there, his kid. They jumped in the bed. They were asleep. I said, they were away. He told me, he said, oh, I was just fussing at the TV. For 4 hours, he cussed that TV out. And over and over and over. That's the damage it does. You want to talk about sin? That's the damage of someone that's... He said, well, he was drinking. He had beer cans everywhere. Don't touch on that beer can, Pastor. I will touch on it. Listen, alcohol, drugs, all these things destroy lives. And if they destroy lives and what they stand for, then Christians should say, no, it's not part of my life. It's what it does. I can't tell you the number of families I've dealt with because someone was an alcoholic. Someone was messed up. Someone had a problem with pornography, with sexual immorality. You're called to a higher standard, brothers and sisters. You're not of this world. You're different from it. You are to live different. You are to stand different. And one day, he goes on to say at the end of, one day, we're going to be in glory with him. One day, he's coming back. One day, we're going to stand before this world and they're going to see us. That we're with Jesus. They might laugh at you, ridicule you today, slander you, talk about you, try to distract you. You can do whatever you want. I'm a child of God. And nothing can take it away from me. Nothing, it says in Scripture, nothing can snatch me out of the hands of God. Nothing can snatch me out of the hand of Jesus. I'm signed, sealed, and delivered because I gave my heart to Christ. You have that assurance this morning, this afternoon. The day is a day of salvation. Don't put off being saved. Don't put off Jesus becoming your Lord and Savior. Don't put off being assured of being in heaven bound, the abundant life. Stop putting it off because you don't know what tomorrow is going to be. We just lost a friend, 32 years old, was fine. Boom, gone. Lost another couple of friends. I was with him in church a few weeks ago. Every time I went to that church, he greeted me at the door. Both him and his wife were in the hospital. Both of them died within 6 hours of each other. They were in perfect health. You don't know when your time is. You don't know. Be ready. Seek the things above. Heavenly things. Seek God with all your heart, mind, soul, everything in you. Give your life to Christ. Give it to Christ. And follow him. Follow him. Christians, stop messing around and be real. If you want to play church on Sundays and Mondays be like hell, then don't do church. I'm serious, because people watching. You're fake. You need Jesus.
See, if you got Jesus really in your heart, you'll be different. You'll be different. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for today. Thank you, God, for the scripture. Thank you, God, for this church family. Thank you, God, for your grace and mercy. God, thank you, God, that you tell us that we are to seek you with all hearts, with all minds. Everything, God, should be set upon you, that we are to live different in this world. And brother, the brothers and sisters here today, Lord, I know they're struggling in their walk, they're struggling in their faith, and today they need to surrender whatever it is that's hindering them in their walk with you. There's some here today that just need to repent of their sins and give their hearts to you. Ask you to come in and be their Lord and Savior. That they want you to lead their life. You know each heart here. Speak to them, Father. But thank you, God, for a better way to live this Christ-centered life. You laid it out for us. Now we need to obey it. In Jesus' name, let's stand.